A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 37. Sharal. Din drifted in and out of awareness for a little while. He felt held and cherished and pulled along, protected, safe. His whole body was warm with satisfaction. The entire galaxy had been simplified into a series of sensations, everything else stripped away, and all Din had to do was exist in that space with those sensations. The most present sensation was pain. Flickers of grazed open rawness across the palms and fingertips that Din had scraped against the wall. A wrung-out ache in Din's calves and his back from where he had tensed up before taking each blow. A scratchy kind of hurt in his throat, a soreness in his chest. And the keen, white-hot burn across his thighs, his ass, the backs of his knees. Every welt and cut still blazed with its own pain. Din could feel each and every stroke like Boba was still laying them into his body. The hurt of them roared and ebbed like the wind in the desert, gusting and reshaping everything in its path, then settling down into playful eddies before roaring up again whenever Din drew in a shaky breath. Din loved it. Hated it, too, because it hurt, but he loved it like he loved the Great Din Sea. The pain was brutal, but it was clarifying. Like the wind sweeping sand away to reveal the strong bones of the desert, the banded bedrock, the roots of ancient trees. The pain was clear and bright and beautiful. There were other sensations, too, somewhere beyond the pain. Gentle hands in Din's hair, at the back of his neck. A deep, rhythmic rumble against his cheek. A blaze of warmth. Skin. The earthy scent of a cut cedar tree and the hot metal scent of Beskar or blood. A cool breeze. Words and touches slipping through Din's awareness like stars streaming past the razor crest in hyperspace with Din tucked in safe inside. Din let himself drift. It was easier to parse everything that he was feeling like this. The pain gave him a layer of protection from the turmoil he'd felt since he'd come back from Gela's place. Since Morak, if Din were being honest with himself, and here, like this, he saw no reason to be dishonest. Pain had wrapped itself around Din like Beskar. His guilt, the way Din had hurt Boba, none of that could touch him like this. The pain was proof that Boba had forgiven Din, that Din had made things right. Good, Din kept thinking, the word echoing through him. Good. It's good. I've been good. That was what Boba had said. Orijate, very good. That thought was an anchor. It kept Din from drifting too far outside of himself, pulled along by the pain and the peace that had settled over him. Din was drifting, but he wasn't lost. He wasn't pulled too far away and cast out on his own. Boba was here. Boba had forgiven him. Awareness began to gradually filter itself through Din's comfortable haze. The deep rumbling he felt against his cheek was Boba speaking. Basic and Mandoa, and even some endearments that were a blend of both. The warmth that Din felt all around him was Boba's body, skin pressed to Din's skin. At some point, Boba had shed his shirt to let Din burrow as close to him as possible. They had moved, too. They weren't standing anymore. As Din had drifted in and out of awareness, Boba had moved them over to the bed where he was now sitting with his back propped up against the wall, Din arranged on his belly in Boba's lap. Cool breeze licked over Din's back, his legs, soothing some of the painful heat that still throbbed there. Din's face was still damp with sweat and tears. He didn't know how much time had passed since he'd reached 30 strikes. He was shivering a little, faint tremors that had him tucking even closer to Boba's body. Boba himself was carting a hand through the soft curls at the base of Din's neck, Speaking softly, fingertips working away some of the tension Din always carried around in his neck, his shoulders. It would be easy, like this, for Din to slip back into the stream of stars in his head and fall asleep, doze until Boba made him get up for morning court. I shouldn't, Din thought, with some effort. I should. He didn't know. He wasn't sure what he should do. He thought vaguely that he should check up on Boba, make sure that Boba was doing all right, that this had been what Boba had wanted, had needed, too. And, Din thought, prying his face off Boba's chest with a faint groan, blinking to clear the stars out of his eyes, I want to see what Boba did. Din's thighs were tacky with sweat and dried blood. He had taken 30 strokes of the reed cane. Din wanted to see what that looked like. Take it easy, Boba said when Din began to stir in his lap. You don't have to come back up if you're not ready yet, Jerrica. I'm fine, Din said thickly. His mouth was very dry. He pushed himself up onto his elbows, though he didn't pull himself all the way away. Boba was too warm for that. Boba chuckled. You sure? He said. He tugged on a few of Din's curls, though he was very gentle about it. There's no rush, Sherry. You're not that heavy. Yeah, Din said, propping himself up. His elbows managed to hold his weight, which gave Din some faint surprise. He felt not weak exactly, but loose. Languid, despite the soreness in his shoulders, despite how tightly Din had braced himself before the cane. All right, Boba said, and let Din up. You don't need to stand if you don't want to, he added. But if you can, I'd like to get you into the fresher. That sounded like a test. Din nodded. He could manage to stand. He wasn't so sore that he couldn't roll over, which was a good start. He made it gingerly onto his side, wincing as the motion made his new welts twinge, but it wasn't too bad. He felt every welt that he had earned, the pain of them hot and insistent, but it was a manageable pain, something Din could endure. Or so he thought, until he levered himself up onto his feet and asked his legs to support his weight. Agony jolted up Din's spine, bright and intense, and he was stumbling before he fully realized what was happening. Din choked on a shout. Boba swore and reached out, catching Din before he went all the way down, and Din clutched at him gratefully, struggling to breathe, to get himself back under control. It was almost like being caned again. Intense, sharp, without the comfortable buffer afforded by the calm, starry space between Din and the pain. Din had to breathe through his nose for a handful of seconds, gripping Boba's arm tightly before he could master the agony again. Netina, Boba said sharply. Din winced, heart dropping. He didn't want Boba to be angry with him. His shoulders tightened. He wanted to see if I could stand, Din thought. I can stand. I can do it. I just need a second. Sorry, Din muttered, still breathing through his nose. He knew how to do this. The breath controlled the body. That was a lesson every foundling was taught as soon as they started their combat training. I need a second. We're not in any hurry, Jerrica, Boba said, his tone softening some. If you're not up for it yet, we can sit back down. Take it slow, yeah? I can handle it, Din said. He wrestled his body back under his control. The pain was still intense, but it was survivable. It was just minutes ago, in Boba's arms, the pain had been good. It had been good, but now it was relentless, and Din had lost the buffer between himself and the pain. The satisfaction of withstanding the flogging, the relief of earning Boba's forgiveness. There was nothing between Din and the pain now, only the knowledge that he had upset Boba again, and that made Din want to curl up again, made him want to flinch and shy away from Boba's hands. I can handle it, Din repeated, ragged. He tried to concentrate. He could stand. He could walk. He could. You don't have to handle it, Boba said. Sounding exasperated. Din's shoulders pulled even tighter. He wanted to duck his head, to shy away, but he wasn't sure that he could stand on his own. It's all right if you want to stay down for a little while longer, Atenika. That was hard on you.
Din's brow furrowed.
But you wanted to see if I could stand, he said plainly. What? Confusion blurred Boba's voice now. Din started, then stopped himself. He wanted to say that he was fine, that he just needed a few more seconds to gather himself and then he could walk to the fresher, but he knew that Boba wouldn't like to hear it. And it's... I'm not fine, Din thought to himself, wincing again. He was in pain. White fire throbbed in the base of his spine, behind his ribs. Din was unbalanced by it, confused. He couldn't explain himself well enough. Sorry, Din repeated, at a loss for what else he could say. He ducked his head a little further. I'm sorry. Ah, said Boba, his tone gentling again. No, Jerrica. I'm sorry. I am sorry. You're still under. I didn't realize. That was my mistake, Shara. Din blinked. He swayed a little closer to Boba, wanting to touch him, wanting proof that he hadn't... that Boba wasn't angry. What's wrong with me? Din wondered. Under? He asked. Or you said it was like hyperspace last time, Boba said, shifting so that he had an arm slung carefully underneath Din's shoulders, taking most of Din's weight across his own. Like this, Din could tuck himself more firmly against Boba's side, borrowing more of his warmth. That was good. The touch settled him some. In your head, you're still there, aren't you? Din blinked again. I'm here, he said uncertainly. Yeah, said Boba, agreeable. But not all the way, right? You still feel... disconnected? Din shook his head. He didn't feel disconnected at all. The stars had faded. If anything, Din felt too connected now, too aware of his body and the pain, of how ungainly he felt, how close he was to falling over. Din almost wanted to be disconnected, to be back in that peaceful place, all sensations and warmth, where the pain had just been good. It was still good, honestly. Sharp and almost sweet for all that it had threatened to drop Din back to his knees. But now Din had other things to worry about instead of just how good the pain felt. Now the pain was an obstacle, something to stumble over. Din shook his head a little, trying to clear it. He didn't understand what was wrong with him, why he felt like this. I'm here, Din repeated. All right, Boba said, like one might try to soothe an injured animal. Din scowled. He wasn't... I'm not doing this right, he thought, frustrated. He didn't know what Boba wanted to hear, and he didn't know how to parse the pain he was in, how to make it useful again. He opened his mouth, trying to find the right words, but then closed it again when the words didn't come. Udesi, said Boba, paying very close attention to Din now. Din could feel it. Like Boba had used the reed cane to pare Din down to just nerves, raw and exposed, and was now watching those nerves twitch and misfire. It's all right, Boba said. What's wrong? I just don't know what you want, said Din. It came out more desperate than he wanted it to, but there was nothing he could do about that. His tongue was thick in his mouth. There was no judgment in Boba's tone, no anger or reproach, which was good. Din didn't know why it was good, but it was. His shoulders loosened some. Boba must have felt it, because he shifted again to pull Din even closer to him. I want to take care of you, Jerrica. Is that all right? Din's brow furrowed. That wasn't what Boba had said. He'd said that he wanted Din to stand. Is that all right? Boba prompted again when Din didn't say anything. Din didn't know why Boba was bothering to ask. He always took care of Din after a flogging. But he seemed to want an answer, so Din said, slowly. Yes, that's all right. Good,
said Boba. His voice got a little firmer, and Din bent his head toward it. He would. Whatever the test was this time, he'd meet it. He was determined to meet it. His head was a little clearer. Come on, then, Boba said, and his voice had a command in it, despite how gentle it was. Din's brow lifted. There was no test there, just an order. Let me take care of you, Boba said. He didn't wait for Din to agree. He just swept Din along, bearing most of Din's weight as they crossed the few steps between the bed and the fresher. Pain spiked with every step, but Din didn't have to rely on himself to stay upright, so it was more manageable than it had been before, when he'd gotten up from the bed. Boba had taken control again. There was no test, not here, as Boba maneuvered them both into his cramped sonic and switched it on, using the bulk of his body to shield Din from the worst of the vibrations. Nothing to stumble over while the sonic did its work, wicking away dried sweat and dried blood. No test to fail when Boba decided that they both were clean enough and helped Din leave the sonic, propped him up by the sink, and used a wet cloth to soothe the worst of Din's hurts. Boba didn't ask if Din could stand or walk or hold himself up again. If Boba needed Din to move, he told Din so. Otherwise, he ordered Din to stay still in a tone that brooked no argument, and Din was happy to give in. He could listen, he could be good. Din let Boba work, all of his attention focused on keeping himself upright. Around the edges of his thoughts, he felt something else, something that troubled him, or would trouble him if he could order his thoughts enough to get at it. Boba had said that Din was still under, that Din was still affected. I didn't realize. I don't know what that means. He couldn't quite get at the thought, though. It was still out of his reach, and Boba didn't seem inclined to let Din start to worry himself again. Din started to work himself up, embarrassment prickling faintly in his chest. He should be better than this. It shouldn't be this easy to shake him. I should be better, Din thought. Despite what Boba had said, that quiet floating space inside of his head felt very far away now, and in its place anxiety had started to gnaw at the corner of his thoughts. It shouldn't be this easy to... But Boba was having none of that. Garmisha, he said, mild as the breeze. Nyorjoye, Jerrica, relax. Don't think so hard, just let me take care of you. He was carefully wiping dried blood off the backs of Din's legs. A few of the cuts, thin, narrow things, nearly bloodless when Din had glimpsed them in the fresher's dented mirror, almost too small to have caused the pain Din had felt under the cane. The pain he still felt. Had opened again, in between the bed and the sonic, and Boba was tending to those, too. Din was cold. The pain had shifted now. It hadn't faded, not really, but it had changed. Instead of individual stars of agony, Din's legs and his ass throbbed in time with his heartbeat. It was a steady hurt. Din had the vague thought that Boba had something to do with that change. Boba's touch was gentle enough, but it still had some pressure behind it. He'd push on a welt or a cut until Din hissed, pain spiking, and then ease off. And when he did, the pain he left behind had broadened. It reminded Din, oddly enough, of the first time Boba had put his hands on Din in the kitchens underneath the palace. The way Boba had taken a simple bruise and made it more. The skill of his hands, his inexorable strength. That broad pain, not quite so sharp or stinging, was easier for Din to sink back into, easier to trust. Relax, Boba said again, and then he made a light, pleased noise when Din obeyed, sagging against the sink, forcing all of the tension out of his arms. Orijate, said Boba warmly. The praise lapped over Din's head like a wave. That was easy to sink into, too. Din could trust it. Boba had never lied to Din before. They stayed in the fresher for a while. Boba took fastidious care of Din's cuts, first wiping the blood away, then applying a thick layer of gelled Bacta to each individual welt and scratch. As he worked, Din's pain kept transforming. It never really receded, but it expanded. It sank into Din's muscles, his bones. It became part of him, and it became less immediate. Din wasn't able to sink as deeply into that comfortable flying feeling as he had before, but some of his anxiety, some of his confusion dropped away, banished by Boba's firm, attentive care. Like this, it didn't matter that Din hadn't been able to stand on his own, that he hadn't understood what Boba had wanted from him. Boba kept telling Din that he was doing what Boba wanted, that he was being good. "And he doesn't lie," Din thought. "So it's true. I'm doing what he wants. I'm being good." "That's it," Boba murmured, as Din sagged further against the sink, relaxing into Boba's touch. "There you are." Din wasn't sure what Boba meant by that. He hadn't gone anywhere. But Boba's voice was warm with affection and soft with praise. So Din sank a little deeper into his pleasant stupor, making a wordless sound of agreement. He relaxed into the Bacta, letting his eyes. Like this, his pain was nice, almost. Manageable. Din didn't wobble as badly when Boba set his Bacta supply aside and coaxed Din back up to his feet, and he didn't need to lean on Boba as much when Boba ushered Din out of the fresher and back towards the bed. Boba made Din drink a mug full of water before he let Din flop back down, graceless, into the sheets. "Hungry?" Boba asked, as Din, far away and very tired now, soothed by the Bacta and Boba's care, shoved his face into Boba's pillow and made another contented sound. Boba chuckled. "That's a no, then." "I can if you want me to," Din said thickly into the bed. He wrinkled his nose a little. The sheets were damp and sticky, but Din was too tired to move. He felt Boba's chuckle more than he heard it. Boba climbed into bed after Din, nudged him over a little, then gathered Din back up into his arms. He was forge fire hot, and Din transferred his face from the bed into Boba's chest immediately, tucking his nose against one of Boba's collarbones. "I want," Boba said clearly, so that there was no chance that Din could misunderstand him. "You to go to sleep, Jarka, to rest. We can see about something to eat in a little bit, yeah?" "If that's what you want," Din said agreeably. He felt Boba chuckle again. The sound vibrated against Din's cheek, like freshly struck Beskar. "Be charish," Boba said quietly. "Gar or ner. Knuhoi, sorry. Knuhoi." Din had no idea what Boba was saying, but he liked the cadence of it, the rise and fall. It was an order, Din thought. Boba wanted Din to sleep. Content now, Din closed his eyes and obeyed. Din woke up, confused and in pain, heart racing, thighs burning, his fist closed around a weapon he didn't have. A shout was ringing in his ears. His own throat was sore, like he'd been shouting, too, and everything around him was dark and close. There was a hand on Din's chest. Din didn't recognize it at first, didn't know where he was or what he was doing there, and tried to scramble away, confused and afraid. But moving made the pain double, made it swell ugly and red behind his eyes, and terror lurched in his belly. Din shouted again. Another hand caught him by the hip, and Din replied on instinct, lashing out with his closed fist. He didn't hit anything. A shape moved in the darkness, the hand on his hip tightened. "Din!" Boba shouted. Din paused. His body struggled to understand what his mind knew. The hand on Din's hip, on his chest, the voice in the dark. Din knew it. Boba. Din wasn't alone. He was in Boba's rooms. Boba was holding him and must have shouted to wake Din up. Din blinked and dropped his fist. He squinted. At some point, while Din had been sleeping, the moons had disappeared, slipped over the horizon. Dawn wouldn't be far off now, but the suns hadn't risen yet, so Boba's rooms were very dark. But Boba was there. Din could see him, a faint outline, a warm hand. "Din," Boba repeated, quieter. His tone was still sharp, and Alor's voice, a command. "Din, are you all right?" Din blinked again, frowning. He uncurled his fingers from their fist and flexed them. The automatic response, "Yes, I'm fine," pressed itself against the backs of his teeth. "Boba," Din said slowly. His heart was still racing underneath Boba's fingertips. Din frowned and took a handful of deliberate breaths, trying to wrestle himself back under control. "Boba," Din repeated. "Yes, I'm all right." Boba was staring at Din in the dark. The whites of his eyes were shining. "Din," said Boba. He sounded different, unsure almost. Din didn't think he'd ever heard Boba sound like that. Din took another breath, exerting a warrior's control over his body, and tried to figure out what had happened. He remembered the fresher, Boba's hands, all gentle, sweet touches, Bacta cooling across his skin, floating away, wrapped up in Boba. And then, Din's heartbeat was beginning to slow, and the edges of his dream, ragged and frightening, were fading away. You didn't sound like you were all right, Boba said, still uncertain. I woke him, Din realized. Only a few hours had passed since they'd fallen asleep together. That was why Din was in pain. Boba had caned him just hours ago, and his cuts were still raw and sore despite the Bacta Boba had applied before they'd gone to sleep. The sheets on Boba's bed were twisted and tangled all around Din and Boba both. I woke him. I must have kicked him or shouted or... Din had woken up a few times in the last few weeks, clutching the darksaber. That was what his hand had closed around in his dream. The details were fading fast. Din was still blurry, his thoughts soft and round and flecked with stars, his usual sharpness blunted. But Din remembered that in his dream he had drawn the darksaber, that he'd been staring something down, something that had been creeping through his dream, slithering, coming closer and closer. Din shuddered. "I'm all right," Din said a little more forcefully. It was a dream, just a dream." "Must have been some dream," Boba observed. Some of his uncertainty had bled away. His hands were warm. Din reached up and laid his hand over the one Boba had put on Din's chest. He threaded their fingers together so that Boba was holding Din's hand instead of chasing Din's heartbeat. "It was just a dream," Din repeated. Boba regarded Din quietly. "A nightmare," he said. Reluctantly, Din nodded. There was no point in pretending that the dream hadn't been a nightmare. The sweat cooling on the sheets, the rawness in Din's throat, the fact that he'd apparently thrashed around hard enough, made enough noise to wake Boba up, all of it gave Din away. "I'm awake now," Din said. Din didn't think that he was entirely awake, not really. The edges of his thoughts were still slow and thick. He felt dazed almost, hazy. Not quite as dazed and hazy as he'd felt after his punishment, but not quite himself either. "You have nightmares like that often?" Boba finally asked. He pulled away a little, taking his other hand off of Din's hip, though he let Din keep the hand that had been on Din's chest. Boba stroked his thumb against the backs of Din's fingers, tracing the line of a knuckle. "Often enough," Din admitted. He didn't mention that he'd had nightmares every night since he'd gone into Mos Eisley and caught Jassa. He didn't want Boba to feel guilty, responsible. "Always have, ever since the Clone Wars." Boba made a sound of understanding. "Rough on you too, were they?" "Separatists destroyed my village," Din said. "Maybe the whole planet too. I never went back. That was how I ended up with the Fighting Corps. Mandalorians, they came and fought the Separatists off, took me with them when it was..." Din stopped, shook his head. "When they realized that I was alone." That wasn't what Din had been dreaming about, he didn't think. Din had plenty of dreams about the Separatist attack, and always had. But in those dreams, Din was a child again, small and defenseless. And in most of his dreams these days, Din always had the Darksaber. Boba made a softer sound, low in his throat, and arranged himself so that he was at Din's side again, instead of in front of him in the dark. He tried to straighten out the twisted sheets, puddled around them as he went, but only succeeded in tangling them further. He pressed up against Din's side with a sigh. It was in the past, Boba murmured, tucking Din close. He hadn't bothered to take his hand back. Din's heartbeat was calm and steady now. They both could feel it. You're safe here. You know that, yeah? Din let himself be soothed. It was still dark outside, too early to make himself get up and face the day. Din wasn't sure that he'd be able to fall back asleep again, but if Boba wanted to try, Din was perfectly content to just doze beside him, lulled into something calm and quiet by Boba's warmth. The edges of his thoughts were still pliable anyway. A part of Din, always there but bigger than usual like this, still wanted to please Boba, to make him happy. I know, Din said, tucking his head underneath Boba's chin. Boba eased them backwards until they were lying down again, Din hissing as his raw thighs chafed a little against the sheets. It was just a dream, Boba. Boba grunted. A dream that need me in the balls, he said. Din winced. Yeah, that'd wake me up, too. Sorry, he murmured. Boba's answering chuckle was little more than a sigh. It's fine, he assured Din. Just try to have a happier dream next time, will you? It was Din's turn to snort. I'll do my best, he promised. Boba hummed into Din's hair. Good, he said, as Din closed his eyes again. 'Cause I'm getting too old to be woken up like that, Jerrica. Din did manage to fall back asleep again, despite the dreams, despite the ache in his thighs, his ass. When he opened his eyes again, it felt like a blink, almost, like he'd closed his eyes when Boba had been speaking and opened them again a moment later. Boba's rooms were soft, with pale dawn sunlight cast in shades of orange and pink, and Boba had thrown his arm over his eyes with a faint groan. He and Din had shifted a little after they'd fallen back asleep again. Someone had kicked the tangle of sheets entirely aside, leaving them in a trailing heap off the corner of the bed, and Din had rolled over, too. He usually slept on his back, but now he was curled on his side, one arm trapped underneath Boba's body, and prickly hot, staticky, and the other draped over Boba's hip. Boba had returned the favor. He tucked into Din sometime after moonset, pushed one of his broad, corded thighs between Din's, and thrown an arm of his own over Din's middle. Boba's face was tucked into the crook of his other arm, shielded from the sun's. Din propped his head up and squinted past Boba, trying to gauge the hour.
Where are the suns?
Boba grunted, face still hidden away from the light.
It's not too late, is it?
Din flopped back down and closed his eyes again. No, he said sleepily. It's not too late. Only one sun had fully cleared the eastern horizon. The other was only halfway up, pink and lazy. The breeze drifting in was still cool. Din and Boba had a little more time before they needed to be anywhere. This time, Din didn't drop back off to sleep. The light in Boba's rooms was growing, and it was hard to ignore. The warmth of Boba's body, a pleasant and comfortable guard against the chill of a Tatooine night, was less pleasant the higher the suns rose. The staticky, numb feeling in Din's trapped arm only grew. Despite all of that, Din was in no hurry to move, and Boba didn't seem to be either. It wasn't often that Din got to sleep beside Boba, skin to skin. Usually, at least one of them had light linen pants on. But Boba must have shed his layers at some point, maybe before he'd climbed into the Sonic after Din, because he was as naked as Din. Din took shameless advantage, curling up as close to Boba as he could get, despite the heat, his skin tingling in every place that Din's body touched Boba's. Feeling better? Boba murmured, as Din tucked his face into Boba's chest with a contented sigh. Din was taller than Boba, so he had to contort himself a bit to make the position comfortable, but it was worth it to hear Boba's heart sleep slow, thumping against Din's cheek. Din agreed, too content to reach for any clearer words. He had vague memories of something. He remembered the caning clearly enough, because every time he shifted, he felt his new welts and cuts throb, and he remembered some of the night after. He remembered being confused, the sonic, a dream, waking up to Boa shouting, Din's hand curled into a fist. But those memories were only vague now, far off and indistinct. Boba chuckled and finally pried his face out of the crook of his elbow. With a hand draped over Din's waist, he began to trace the edges of some of Din's old scars, the ridge of his spine. The touch was light and innocuous at first. Din sank into it with another sleepy sigh. Boba knew Din's body very well by now. The scars and the bruises in the planes of Din's back, the faded lines of the tattoos he'd let Annika give him when they'd been young and bored. Boba had never asked Din about them. Boba didn't have any tattoos. His skin was just marked by its scars. But Din had a few. Most of his brothers and sisters had them. It had been a sort of custom among the foundlings of his tribe to get them, to give them. Din could still remember Tasho proudly showing off his first tattoos. A fierce guest from his homeworld Rhodia etched into his right arm with bold, dark lines, and a swooping golf bird, the signet of Tasho's mother, tattooed across his left. Many foundlings, if they'd been adopted by an elder warrior or a pair, took on their clan signets as tattoos. Din didn't have any clan markings, not like Tasho and Paz and Annika did. Paz had clan tattoos twice over. He had the Vizsla tattoos granted to him as Pallas's son, and he had Pantoran clan markings too. Only a child's, two golden circles tattooed under each of Paz's eyes, a golden band on his chin. But Paz had been as proud of those as he'd been of the Vizsla Shriekhawk that Annika had tattooed behind each of Paz's shoulders. Wen Yen and Agda, Annika's parents, had taken a pair of snarling Beskylare, the iron wolves that had once stalked through Mandalore's grasslands, where Wen Yen had come of age and become a warrior, as their signet. So Anya had sketched out a Beskylare for each shoulder, one black and one white, and had let Din and Paz ink one each into her skin. Din didn't have anything like that. He supposed that now he had the right to decorate himself with a mudhorn if he wanted to, if he could find a Mandalorian willing to give Din the ink for it. But Din hadn't collected a new tattoo in years. The few he had were all very old. A mythosaur skull at the base of one of Din's thumbs, a stylized rusher branch wrapped around one bicep, broken now by a scar Din had picked up on some job or another. Three moons on the back of one shoulder, which Annika had insisted on giving Din after he'd come back from Tatooine that first time. "To remind you that you survived," Annika had said. "All on your own, without your tribe to protect you." She'd given each one a different face. Gomrasan was a crescent, a sliver of black ink. Gormessa was full and pocked, and Chinini was turning her face away, only half visible. All three of Tatooine's little moons were faded now, the ink was patchy in places. Boba seemed to like touching them, though, so Din didn't complain. He let Boba trace patterns from the top of Din's shoulder down to the curve of his spine, only hissing faintly when Boba's clever fingers found the swell of Din's ass and skimmed over his new welts. Boba caught Din's hiss and chuckled, low and fond. The sound of it was as familiar to Din now as a heartbeat. "Tender," Boba murmured. His skimming fingers stopped skimming. Boba found a welt and pushed, just a little. It shouldn't have hurt. Wouldn't have hurt if Din hadn't still been so raw despite a night under Bacta, but it hurt anyway. Pain flared, hot and bright. Din caught his hiss of pain this time, but Boba was like a massif with a bone. He took a blunt nail and dragged it across one of the welts on Din's thighs, and Din had to muffle a shout against Boba's chest, twisting helplessly. The fire Boba woke across Din's skin wasn't as sharp as the reed cane had been. Din had felt every impact of that, every cut and welt it had raised as distinct and individual hurts. This was something else. Not dull, because one or two scrapes had Din panting against the hurt of it already, shifting restlessly in Boba's grip, but less distinct. Less overwhelming, too. Din had felt like the cane had been cutting him to the bone, stripping him bare. This pain was hot and prickling, yes, but it was hazy, almost, a pleasant fog of heat and hurt that Din could sink into. Wanted to sink into. He shifted in Boba's arms again, pressing himself back into Boba's fingers. Boba made a wordless, amused sound into Din's hair and indulged him, dragging a thumbnail across another of Din's welts. This time, Din didn't muffle his noise of pain. It wasn't quite a shout. It was something panting, something open, half a moan. It hurt, but... But one of Boba's thighs was still braced between Din's own. Boba was all around Din, the Beskar and Cedra's smell of him, iron and earth. And even though Din's whole body was alight with the pain, Din knew that he was hovering on the edge of something else. It would be easy, Din realized, to start to rock his hips, to drag his cock, already half hard, against Boba's broad thigh, to let pleasure and pain tangle together in the base of Din's spine until he couldn't tell one from the other. Boba, evidently, felt that edge, too. He let out a noisy breath into Din's hair and flattened his hand over Din's hip. Pain buzzed behind Din's eyelids, simmered in his blood. "I would like," Boba murmured, his voice soft against the crown of Din's head, "to fuck you, Jerrica. You up for it? It might hurt some, but I'd make it good for you." Din's pulse quickened. The threat, the promise of pleasure and pain, made his breath catch. He licked his lips. I don't mind if it hurts," he said. Boba chuckled and patted Din's hip, fawned. "No," he said, "you wouldn't. Let me take a look at you, then. Make sure you've healed up enough." "I'm fine," Din said automatically, not wanting to wait. His own eagerness surprised him a little, but maybe it shouldn't have. He was hurting already, a delicious sort of heat gathered in his gut, tingling across his skin. That Boba wanted to give Din more only made him... greedy, Din thought. He wanted it. He wanted Boba. "You gave me plenty of back to last night," Din continued, "didn't you?" Boba made a considering noise. "Remember that, do you?" He had pulled away a little, propping himself up on one elbow. Din liked looking up at Boba, so he stayed where he was, on his side on the bed. When he nodded, the sheets shifted against his cheek. "A little," Din admitted. "I remember pieces. We were here, weren't we, on the bed?" Din had been in Boba's lap. Boba had been petting Din's hair. And then they'd gone to the fresher. The finer details were gone, lost in a warm haze, but Din remembered that much. He didn't really remember what he and Boba had talked about, though he remembered confusion, fear. That was the nightmare, Din thought. He dimly remembered that, too. "We were," Boba agreed. "And I did give you some Bacta, but I still want to check you over. Make sure your cuts have closed all the way." He paused to pat the meat of Din's ass, gently but with enough force that Din still drew in a sharp breath and rocked his hips instinctively, smarting. "It's no point in risking an infection," Boba said. "I'm not gonna get an infection," Din protested. Boba took such meticulous care of Din's injuries, the ones he gave Din and the ones Din just picked up as a hazard of the job, that Din was pretty sure he'd never have to worry about wound rot again. "Probably not," Boba allowed. He was smiling now. "But if you do get cure, you know that Ushib's going to be the one taking care of you, right? Not me?" Din thought about Ushib smearing Jurab paste all over his ass and shuddered. "Fine," he grumbled. "Go on, then. Do what you want." Boba hummed, amused. "Good," he said. "Orishate. Orisharish." "Very sweet," Din flushed, despite himself. It was hard to stop fidgeting now, to stop rolling his hips a little against Boba's broad thigh, savoring the drag of it, the pressure, the way moving and flexing his thighs made pain sparkle up his spine. "Orishate," Boba repeated, patting Din's hip again. His expression was open, fond, and his eyes were warm and more than a little hungry. Boba's own cock was starting to harden. "Come on, then. Turn over. Let me have a look at you." Din obeyed, untangling himself from Boba's body and rolling over into the warm spot that Boba had left in the bed. Boba climbed up to his knees, then leaned over Din's body. His hands skimmed over Din's flanks, then the dimples at the base of Din's spine. Din spread his legs to let Boba settle between them and tangled his fingers into the sheets, resisted the urge to crane his head around and try to see what Boba was doing. His breath was quickening, his dick getting harder. Boba knelt between Din's legs and kept exploring. He didn't poke or prod at Din's welts or cuts, not really. At worst, he skimmed the pad of a fingertip over a cut, making sure that the little wounds he'd left had started to heal over. Boba's Bacta was high grade. Din couldn't feel any open cuts or raw wounds. He was sore, and made more sore by Boba's exploration, but the Bacta had done its job. Boba must have thought so too, because he made a satisfied noise and sat back on his heels. "Did I pass the inspection?" Din asked. Boba swatted him. The sound of his hand meeting the skin of Din's ass made Din groan, half in pain and half in anticipation. "Manners," said Boba mildly. Din subsided. He didn't need to give Boba a reason to punish him again. "Not until I heal up a little more first, anyway," Din thought. He hadn't hated his punishment. Din hadn't enjoyed it, not like he'd enjoyed some of the other things he and Boba had done together. Not like he was enjoying this, Boba's light touches, the low burn of pain in his legs and his ass, the warmth of Boba's body. "But, yeah," Boba added, relenting. "You're fine. Healing well." His big hands traced the swell of Din's ass, his thumb brushed the tops of Din's thighs, the thin, tender skin there, already flushed and heated. Din swallowed. Anticipation tightened in his belly. "Don't go anywhere," Boba said, levering himself over Din's leg and leaving the bed. His voice was rough. "I'm not going far." Din nodded into the bed, heartbeat picking up. Boba kept his word and only went as far as the crate of tools he kept underneath his bed. Din heard the now familiar sound of it scraping across the stone floor, the tools and toys inside rustling. When Boba returned, he didn't settle between Din's legs again. Instead, he encouraged Din to bring his legs together, then arranged himself over Din, one powerful thigh on either side of Din's hips. Din made a confused sound, muffled by the bed, but didn't protest. Boba knew what he was doing. "You'll like this," Boba promised. His voice had taken on a wicked edge. "You'll see." There's no reason to doubt him, Din thought, settling deeper into the mattress. Boba knew what he was doing, especially when it came to bumping Beskar. If he said that Din would like it, I'll probably like it, Din thought. He tried to make himself relax, an effort that was immediately undermined when Din heard the sound of Boba's bottle of oil uncapping. The smell of it hit the air. Din's cock, which had started to soften a little as Boba'd moved around, twitched. Din's body knew that sound now, that smell. Boba caught him tensing and chuckled. "Udesi," he said, and when he touched Din again, both of his hands were wet with oil. Unlike Bacta, which was always cool, the oil warmed up. Boba kneaded Din's skin for a few moments, making Din groan as pain flickered, then dug both of his thumbs into either side of Din's ass. Din froze. "He's not," he thought, face heating. He still remembered how Boba's tongue had felt, licking him open, the faint scrape of stubble against his inner thighs. What would that feel like now, Din wondered, heart pounding. The first time Din hadn't been flogged raw and sore. He'd been sensitive, but not like this. But Boba very rarely did the same thing twice. He didn't spread Din open this time, didn't bring his mouth down to press kisses and playful nips into Din's welted skin. Instead, Boba let Din go and started massaging oil into Din's skin, his hands skimming lower and lower until they were between Din's thighs. The smell of the oil was thick in the air. Din's welts were warm, almost hot, and pain was pulsing a steady beat up his spine. "Boba?" Din asked, wary now. Despite that, his cock was still hard, trapped against Din's belly. He shifted and hissed when the sheet scraped over him. Din's entire body felt heated and raw, almost too sensitive. "Udesi," said Boba again, deep and dark. He took his hands away, but Din was still confused. He heard the sound of oil against skin again, a slick rhythm, and then reddened when he realized what Bobo was doing. He's touching himself, Din thought. He's... Then Bobo set a hand on either side of Din's hips, bracing himself over Din's body, and leaned in. His body was warm, too, hot as a Beskar forge. His chest brushed Din's back. His nose grazed Din just behind the ear. His cock, wet with oil, hot and heavy, dragged against the seam of Din's ass, the backs of his thighs. Din made a thin sound in the back of his throat. It hurt. It was good. Desire tangled in his belly, his hands. "Bobo," Din repeated, unsteady. "What are you?"
"Something that you're gonna like," Bobo murmured. "I promise. Just keep your legs together, Tetherbuck."
Din swallowed, face red, heart pounding. He felt a smear of wetness across his belly. His cock was leaking. Arousal had joined hands with pain and made Din shiver all over. "All right," Din agreed hoarsely. He bit his lip and brought his legs flush together. Bobo had caned Din across the backs of his thighs, not the soft skin inside them, and the glide of the oil Bobo had generously poured made them nearly frictionless as Din brought them together. But Din was still so sensitive, so aware, that he couldn't help but startle when Bobo moved over him again, shifting lower so that his cock dragged against the crease of Din's thighs.
"Garcerim," Bobo said, praising.
Every time he moved, sparks of pleasure, pain too, because no matter how much oil Bobo had used, Din's thighs were still welted and red, the skin hot and tender, flickered behind Din's eyes.
"Garcerim," he repeated, and rolled his hips with intent this time.
What Bobo wanted, what he was going to do, was immediately apparent. His cock slipped between Din's thighs, helped along by the oil, and when Bobo rolled his hips again, the drag against the both of them pulled another groan out of Din's throat. Din understood what Bobo wanted almost immediately. He wasn't going to fuck Din like he had before, wasn't going to finger Din open, guide the hot head of his cock to Din's hole.
He's gonna fuck me like this, Din thought, dazed.
Bobo's thumbs brushed both of Din's hips, reminding him to keep his legs closed. Bobo wanted to fuck between Din's thighs, between the marks he'd made, the sore, tender skin. Din couldn't stop himself from moaning just a little, a choked-off noise, all fear and all desire. The next roll of Bobo's hips made Din feel it, Bobo's cock gliding between his thighs, jostling his welts. The head of Bobo's cock nudged the back of Din's balls, and the friction ground Din's own cock against the sheets, a rough drag that had another moan building in his throat on the tail of the first.
"Garcerim," Bobo said again, leaning down to mouth at the skin behind Din's ear.
His breath was warm, too, and sent pleasure shivering down Din's spine.
"That's it, Jerrica, just like this."
Bobo started up a steady, indulgent rhythm. He'd rock his hips, cock dragging against Din's inner thighs, Boba's own skin dragging against Din's. The oil helped take some of the edge off, cut some of the friction, but Din was so sensitive that it almost didn't matter. Bobo had him making little bitten-off sounds into the sheets within a handful of seconds. The pain that built in Din now was nothing but a fire, spiraling higher and higher. He felt every push, every drag. His welts throbbed. Bobo used just enough force to ruck Din back and forth across the bed a little, and that sensation rubbed Din raw. His nipples peaked against the sheets, growing warm. His chin scraped against the mattress. Din's fingers were knotted tight, knuckles white.
"Feel good?" Bobo asked, still mouthing at Din's neck, pressing kisses to his shoulder blade, to the faded tattoos there, the sweat-damp skin.
He changed the angle of his thrusts a little, and now Boba's cock dragged across Din's hole, too, before driving back in past his welted thighs. Din couldn't stop himself from whimpering, the sound high and raw.
"It hurts," Din panted. Stars danced behind his eyes. Pleasure had pooled low in his belly.
His cock was leaking pre-cum, the wetness gathering underneath him and easing some of the rough slide against the sheets.
"That's not what I asked you," Boba said.
He was panting, too. His pace was picking up. There was oil everywhere, but it wasn't enough.
Din could feel every motion in Boba's body, every millimeter of Boba's cock between his thighs.
"I asked you if it feels good, Jerrica."
Din made another high, thin sound.
"Yes," he admitted raggedly. "Yes, Boba, it feels good. Boba, please."
Boba understood what Din wanted, what he needed. He didn't stop. Din braced himself, held his thighs together, even as the effort and the pain made him tremble, as his whole world narrowed to the burn across his legs and the cock moving between them.
It was good. It was good. Din was undone by how good it was, by how much he wanted it.
His breath caught in his throat, his vision was going wide around the edges.
"Boba," said Din, ragged and broken,
and Boba came between his legs with a strangled shout, pressing his lips reverently to Din's skin. He couldn't seem to stop himself from moving even as he came. Boba kept rocking his hips, short little motions that made Din see stars. When he did finally stop moving, Boba slumped down over Din and blanketed him with his weight for a moment. Din made a pathetic noise at that, too, grateful for the contact. Despite how hot he felt, despite the fire in his thighs, his ass, between his legs, across his chest where he'd been rubbed raw against the sheets, Din was shivering, too.
"Boba," Din said again.
His voice was gravelly, almost wrecked. Boba made a similarly wrecked noise against Din's shoulder. Then Boba tilted, rolling himself over to a corner of the bed that they hadn't wrecked, and took Din with him. Din yelped, startled, and found himself in Boba's lap again, more or less upright, with Boba's arms strong and secure around Din's waist. Din was a mess, sticky with sweat, slick with oil. He looked down between his legs and flushed. The welts he could see from this angle were bright red, rubbed raw again, and there was cum between his thighs. Din's own cock was red and hard.
"Good?" Boba asked.
Din nodded, dazed.
"Yes," he admitted. "I've never..."
He stopped, flushing. Of course Din had never done anything like this. Had never been caned before and then let someone work themselves to release between those marks. Gotten off on it himself, almost. Boba made a pleased noise, pressing a kiss to the soft skin behind Din's ear. He seemed to like doing that, to enjoy the way Din couldn't help but open to it, let his head loll aside to give Boba better access.
"Good,"
said Boba, nipping now. The little flickers of pain, toothsome and bright, made Din shift restlessly in Boba's lap, which in turn made his welts throb with a dull, hot pain. Din's cock twitched with that. Boba chuckled.
"Want some help with that?" he said.
Din bit his lip. He did. As sore as he was, he hadn't had any oil for his own cock to ease the friction as Bo had rocked him into the bed. Din did want more. He wanted to come. He wanted Boba to touch him and then tell Din that he couldn't come.
We don't
have to, Din managed, tucking his chin down against his chest. Boba had indulged Din enough this morning. The suns were rising. The business of the day was coming up on them. Boba still had an outfit to run, after all.
If you have... You've got court, don't you?
Boba made a faintly exasperated sound against Din's neck, then pulled away. He took one hand off Din's waist and brought it to Din's chin. He was gentle, but Din still startled at the contact. Boba's fingers were firm. He made Din look him in the eye. Din did look. He wasn't afraid of Boba looking at him, not anymore. He wasn't afraid of what Boba might see. Boba's own eyes were still dark with desire, but they were fond, too, affectionate. There was an emotion lurking in them, deep and depthless, that made something in Din's heart open in answer.
"He," Din thought, then couldn't let himself think any further.
"Nijarika," Boba said, "I would rather spend my morning here with you, if you'll have me." Din did have to look away then, cheeks coloring. For some reason, that admission, that Boba would rather spend his morning here in bed, rutting lazily with Din, touching him, drawing more sounds out of Din's throat, felt filthier than anything Boba had done to Din since he'd shown Din those three floggers last night.
You just have to tell me that you want it too, Boba said gently. His fingers were still warm against Din's chin.
Kagaishani.
Just tell me, he'd said. Din swallowed.
If I...
Yes, he said. He wanted Boba. Din thought that maybe he was allowed to ask for Boba now. To want him.
Yes, I want it too.
Boba smiled and leaned in, and when he kissed Din, it was slow and filthy and full of promise.
Nijarika, he said again, tone fond, when he pulled away. All you had to do was ask.